So today we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms, and as we look at the book of Psalms, just a reminder to understand the purpose of Psalms. As one professor I had in college explained it this way was, we always refer to God's Word as God's Word, of course, and we always see it as God's Word to us. God's guiding us, God's teaching us, God's showing us how to live. That's why we call it God's Word. God is speaking. That's the whole purpose of the Scriptures. Well, a slight difference is when we get to the book of Psalms, it becomes something that we would call man's word to God. Because that's really what's happening in the book of Psalms. And I've heard it said before that this was primarily their hymn book that they had, that the Jews had. You just look at this as their hymn book, or the song book, or the chorus book, whatever it is that you're familiar with of how you worship. This is what they had. And so all of it is about praise. And all of it is about calling on God in hard times and thanking God for getting past trials and calling on God when you're in the middle of trials. And there's a lot of particulars to it, but it's all about the idea of constant praise. And when we look at this passage, we're just going to start off at the beginning here, the first verse. He says, "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth." Now, my first question is, if you look at the first word up there, after verse 1, the first word, when's the last time you did that word? And under what circumstances did you do that word? Right? Think about it. Because it's one of those words that, it could have a positive connotation. You could shout in a positive way, or you could shout in a negative way. Right? For example, you could shout when you get that check in the mail you weren't expecting. Wah! Shout. Or you could shout when you're driving and you're late. And have you ever noticed that when you're running late, no one in front of you cares? And that's in whether you're driving or whether you're in the store or whatever. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in a store? This is one of my big pet peeves. I'll just say this right off the top. Just get this out of the way. Just my pet peeve. Just a Chad pet peeve. We're going to start a series of that. Chad's pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is I go into the store sometimes, and I actually am in a hurry. I actually have to get somewhere. I have to accomplish something. I have a schedule I have to keep. Have to get this picked up and make sure I'm not late. Have to do this, and I'm in the middle of that. That's all through my head, and there's this group of people. Haven't seen each other for who knows, a few months or whatever, and they have to congregate right around the product I have to buy. And I can't even get in, and they're just taking their time. Oh, it's so good to see you. You look good. And there I am trying to get in, and I didn't shout, but I felt like it. You ever been in that situation where it's positive or negative, all the different ways that you can shout. Now, what he's talking about here is a positive shout. This is not an oh no shout. This is not a get out of my way shout. This is not a why didn't you listen to me shout. This is a positive shout. In fact, the Hebrew word for the word shout is really an incredible word. The best way to understand it, in the English, it is spelled R-U-A-H. Ruah. Isn't that great for a shout? Ruah! Think about that, right? Yeah. Now, technically, the Hebrew translation is technically, it's more of a ruah, but I like the ah better. So, ruah. So, everybody join with me and say that. I know you're ready to do this today. This is going to be a shouting message if you haven't heard it yet or haven't understood this, where we're going. Everybody on the count of 1 to 3, shout ruah. 1, 2, 3. Hey, that was pretty good. Very good. Now, this shout, ruah, and it has the connotation that you're thinking about, because if we've ever seen a movie where they have a shout like this or anything similar, whether it's ruah, kuah, whatever it might be, it's always something that's kind of marching into battle. We're going to go take care of business. We're excited. Ruah! We're on our way. We're going to take them. That's what the shout means. And that's what he's opening this psalm with, an incredible word that has the whole idea of conquering, the whole idea of going to battle, the whole idea of going to war, the whole idea of we're going to go take care of business. Shout. First thing he says, ruah! Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. It's amazing how he's doing this when he says to Ruah, to shout, you're shouting joyfully to God, all the earth. This is for everybody. This is not any part of the earth that is excluded from this. This is the idea of giving praise. You're giving praise to God, and it doesn't matter where you are, where you're from, what your background is, what your experience is. This is something that he's saying, that God deserves praise from the entire globe, all of earth. If we think about that for a minute, what would that mean? That would mean that everybody, nobody would be able to say, well, you know what, I would praise God. I would shout my praises to God. However, you don't know what my upbringing has been, or you don't know what my situation has been. And one of the things we learn about the Psalms is that this is not based on circumstances, the physical circumstances. You can have trials, you can have this, but you're still going to be praising God. So this is everybody, wherever you're from, whatever it is, the entire globe should be partaking in this shout in praising God. So he says, shout to joyfully to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. And then he tells us in verse 3, this is what you are to say. This is how you are to say this. This is what you're to do. When you shout this to God, when you offer your praises to God, this is what you're to do. He says, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. And all the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad. So you notice he's giving a reason that when you're praising God, you are praising him. You're saying, look at what you did. Your works are wonderful. You parted the sea so they could come through on dry ground. And this is the one thing that I always have a little bit of an issue with is if anybody ever says, God has never done anything for me. And, you know, we have to admit, as all of us know, there are some that have it better than you. Nod your heads. And there are some that have it worse than you. Nod your head. You can always find somebody who's living better than you, and you can always find somebody who's living worse than you. So if somebody ever makes the statement, well, God hasn't done anything for me, well, the first thing is, okay, well, let's take a look at that. What do we mean by this? If we look at what he's saying here, God's works are great. What God has accomplished is great. What he is doing is great. Really, nobody can actually say that in all honesty and sincerity. Now, you could say, I've had a hard life, I've had it rough, and I've had it rougher than a lot of other people I know. Absolutely, you could say that. But to say that God hasn't done anything for you, that's not an honest statement. That is one that's coming out of somebody who doesn't understand what God has done. Because what the psalmist is teaching us is that regardless of what we experience or what we face, we may have to go back in time, but we can go back in time and say, hey, he parted the waters. We have reason to give him praise. Doesn't matter what's happening right here. He did this. And you're familiar with the hymn, count your blessings one by one, and then you'll be surprised at what God has done. I've never met anybody who actually did that. I've never met anybody who actually sat down and made a list of every single thing God had done for them. Think about that. Do I have any volunteers willing to try that? Make a list. I have one. Okay. All right. We want it next Sunday. 14 font, single spaced, cited correctly, footnotes. Witnesses, no, just joking. But no, so the whole thing, no one's ever done that, but that's the whole idea. If we can focus on that, because the reason this is so important is because there's always been this rumor about God. And it isn't a new rumor, even though we think it's a new rumor. It's not a new rumor. It's been around ever since the Old Testament. There's been this rumor that God is mean. God is evil. God isn't on your side. Because if he was, why would he let this happen? How could a loving God let all of this fill in the blank? But the psalmist is saying, no, we're praising God. That's what we do because his works are awesome. His works are marvelous. We can always find something to complain about. We can always find something to be negative about. But his works are amazing, and therefore he deserves our praise. Now, there's something about the idea of praise that I wanted to talk about today, because one of the problems with the word praise or with the word worship or whatever term you want to put in there, a lot of times we have different ideas or definitions of what that actually means. For example, I just came up here and I said, it's wonderful to worship together, isn't it? Right? So we just worshiped together. What did I mean by that? Well, we were being led by the worship team in worship to sing songs of praise to God. And so the problem is, what happens is we end up being in a situation where we start to compartmentalize everything. Does anybody here do that? Anybody here compartmentalize anything? I would say the compartmentalized chief. I'm the one that everything has to be compartmentalized. And I don't like wrenches. Anybody here like wrenches? You know how they say, you know, well, that threw a wrench into everything. I don't like that. I like everything. We said this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is when it's going to happen. And then a wrench comes in. I don't know what to do then. What do I do? Well, we were supposed to. This is what we're supposed to. So I like everything compartmentalized. Now, what's interesting about the whole praise idea, we do that in our culture, at least. In our culture, we do that, and we become accustomed to it, and it's not evil. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just our tradition. This is what we do. We plan our worship. We organize it because everybody knows why that's up there, right? Right? Because I got to end on time, right? Because we have everything structured and compartmentalized, making sure you get out on time because you have to get to the restaurant or wherever you may need to go. But then we have the teachers that are teaching in the back, and they can only hold the kids for so long. And so we have a lot of things in our culture. We have these, it's all compartmentalized. So we have an opening song, and then Bob comes up here and does his, whatever you call it, and he comes up and does his thing. And then we have prayer, and then today we have communion, and then we have the worship songs, and then I come up here, and then I speak, and then I speak for about this amount of time, and then I'm done, and then we have the closing song, and then the prayer, the benediction, and then it's all over, and boom. So we have this, from beginning to end, we have this regimented, and the whole thing is, this is what we call worship. And this is it, from beginning to end, this is what we do. Now, again, nothing wrong with that. I am not against that. I like that. Our culture does that. Now, other cultures are different. Ken would be able to tell you, is what I'm talking about. When you go over to Swaziland, their culture is much different. I will never forget when we went over there, and I was preaching a tent revival over there, and Ken and Will were with me, and I was all concerned about being late to the tent revival service, especially one night. We were eating, and the driver was there who was going to the service as well. We're looking at the clock and trying to figure out, oh, I better get over there soon, you know, because I want to be there early. I'm the special speaker at the tent revival, right? So we finally get there. I think the service started at 7, and I believe we got there at around 7:10. The pastor that was in charge didn't show up till 7:45. And so I didn't even get up there to preach until about 8:30 or so. Because in their culture, it's not like. In their culture, it's, well, we'll get there and then we'll just sing. And then, well, when are you guys going to be done? Well, I don't know. And I went to Arizona one time preaching at a youth camp. And it was the most interesting thing that I ever faced as a minister, because I got there and they told me, they said, the worship team has 2 hours of music prepared for every evening, but we don't expect them to go the entire 2 hours. We're leaving that up to you. Whenever you feel led, just come up and interrupt them and go on with the message. You know how awkward that is? I mean, you already see me up here, right, every Sunday. You see me up here, I don't know if how many people notice it, where I'm like, okay, are they putting the mics down? Is it my turn or is it my turn? Is it not my turn? There's always that awkward silence. Am I supposed to go up now? You know, like the previous worship leader I had at my previous church, he did a great job. He played the trumpet, and he would always be up here, and he would see me out of the corner of his eye, and he would just go. And then I knew, oh, I better stay. It's not time yet, right? But that's what we're accustomed to, okay? Nothing wrong with that. God blesses that. Traditions, cultures, that's nothing wrong with it. But there's something to be said about spontaneous praise. And I want you to think about this for a minute, the idea of spontaneous praise. And the reason this is so important is because our culture really isn't accustomed to it, because we live in a scheduled, regimented culture. When was the last time you broke out in song? You just broke out in song. Just kind of happened, right? Neat idea. Do this for me today. Send me a video if you do this, please. Wherever you go to eat today, wherever it is, whether it's home or whether it's at a restaurant, whatever, just in the middle of whatever, just burst into song and send me a video of it. And everybody's reaction, right? Wouldn't it be great when the waitress comes up, you know, can I take your order? The sun will come out tomorrow. Send me those videos. I want to see it. Wouldn't that be great? Just spontaneous. Now, what's amazing, I had a pastor that did that. When I was growing up, I had a pastor. He'd talk to you in the hallway, and he'd shake your hand, and he'd tell you something, and then he'd turn around, and a few seconds later, he would just break into, "A mighty fortress is our God," as he's walking down the hall. But there's something about this spontaneous praise. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because you know that every time we study anything in the Old Testament, which is where the Psalms are, is that we have to always complete it with the New Testament, because the Old Testament is incomplete, because when Christ came, it all became complete. So we go to Luke chapter 1, and I know that many of you know that Luke is a book that I've been studying. It's not because it's my favorite book. I've never really been one that thinks about a favorite book of the Bible or a favorite verse, because they're all God's word. But it's one that I've studied, and it's one that I've studied more in depth than the others, and I've seen a lot of things exciting through that lengthy study that I've done. But one of the things you see in the Gospel of Luke is that type of praise. Because you have the story of Jesus being born. You have John the Baptist who's born. And you remember the story, Zechariah couldn't speak because he questioned God's ways, because he said, how am I supposed to believe this? And he couldn't speak. And so for 9 months, he wasn't able to speak. He could not say anything. But then as soon as he wrote down on the tablet after he was born to convince everybody that God spoke to him, 9 months later, he said, his name is John. Luke tells us immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Like as soon as he could open his mouth, all he could do was speak in praise of God. That's where we have what is called Zechariah's song, where Zechariah is stating the praise of God, because all he could do in that moment, he couldn't even hold it in. He couldn't even help himself. He was just simply speaking in praise of God. Happens quite often throughout the New Testament, because the next one we have is Mary's song, the Magnificat, the same thing. She does the same thing. She just bursts into praise of God. It just happens all throughout the New Testament, this whole idea of this idea of spontaneous praise. Now, I guess the real question is, has God ever moved in a way like that in your life where it was just like, I'm sorry, folks, I don't care if anybody else hears me, all I can do is... It's like the movie Elf. You know the movie Elf? My family has actually done this before. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm standing in a store and I'm singing. There you go. Try that one out today. Send me a video of that one. That would be great. It's the spont- the spont- Spontaneity is what causes everybody, that's odd, that's strange. But has God ever done something in your life that was so amazing, so incredible, so just, you knew that it was God that you couldn't keep it, because that's what's happening in the New Testament. They can't even control it. You can't even schedule it. You can't have it regimented. You can't, it just explodes out of them. You can't even keep it inside. But the problem is, too often we like to focus this on an event, and we like to say, I don't know if God's ever done that. Well, if he does do that, I will do that. Or how do I orchestrate that? But it really comes down to what's happening is everybody sees God for who they are. The reason this psalmist is writing this is because he has seen God for who he is. And he's saying, God, we're praising God. Ruah, we are shouting your praise. Why? Because of your works are mighty. Everything you've done is incredible. You parted the sea. You did this. We see you now for who you are. And the reason that many don't praise God, and I'm speaking of believers and non-believers, but the reason that many don't praise God is because they've lost sight, lost focus of who God truly is. Because once you begin to see who God is, then all of a sudden you realize he is somebody who's deserving to be praised. And he's the only one that needs to be praised. That's what's happening in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is coming. Yes, it was an event. An amazing thing took place. John the Baptist and Zechariah was involved in that. But what happened was God moved in such a way it showed everybody who he was. It showed everybody that he was real. And he revealed himself to everyone there, and all they could do was just praise. Has it ever happened to you? A moment where you're just, I can't stop myself. I know that over the last 25, going on 26 years now, there's somebody that I've always annoyed and I've always frustrated, and I think it's improved from time to time, but I've always annoyed. But one of the things is that anything that ever happens special in my life, I'm talking from the beginning, even back before we were married, anything special that happened, anything that was like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. I got that promotion, or they called me, or they're answering my question about my resume, or this is happening. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Why? So that I could tell her. And so I could explain to her and say, let me tell you what's... One of the most exciting times, and some of you have heard this before, so I apologize, but one of the most exciting times was we were at a pizza place. This was years ago. It was before we moved here, I believe, and all of you know that I love eating healthy. Any way I can do that, that's what I'm after, you know? I mean, I just love those fake burgers that are out there today. Yeah. That wasn't sarcastic. We're at a pizza place, and it was a buffet, and the owner was really nice to us. We all walked in, and he says, anything you guys want, I'll put it up there for you, anything. And we looked up, and I said, well, you pretty much covered all the bases. We got everything, you know, the one with meat, one with everything, one with this. And so I go up, and I'm getting a second helping, and he goes, seriously, sir, seriously, anything at all, anything. He said, I have it, everything here. I'll make anything for you. And I thought, well, okay. I said, well, he's like, what do you like? And I said, well, I like meat. I like beef. And he goes, oh, I can put beef on a pizza. And I said, okay. And then he goes, he had broken English, so he was trying to explain it. And he said, with lettuce. And I thought, okay, if you put lettuce. And he goes, like, you know what I mean, sir. You know, what do they call it? How do you say Big Mac? You can make a Big Mac pizza? Miranda, did you hear? He can make a... Thanks be to God! Talk about taking two amazing things and putting them together, right? And it's those kind of reactions, those kind of things that happen that we're taken off guard, we're surprised by. And I praised that man that day, but how much does God deserve our praise when things happen in our life, or when we need him, or when we just recognize who he is, and we just say, oh God, I can't believe you can. Oh God, I can't believe you. You deserve my praise. And I would go out on a limb today, and I would venture to say that there probably isn't one person here, probably isn't one person watching by live stream, myself included, that praises him enough. I really believe it would be dangerous ground if you ever got to that place. Oh, I've already praised God enough. No, he is so deserving of our praise. And if you're here today and if you're saying, well, you know what? I'm just having a hard time finding a reason to praise him. I'm just having a difficult time. Life stinks right now. Life is hard. Life's difficult. And I don't understand why this is happening or why that's happening. Why would a loving God let this happen? And so then the prayer then becomes, instead of saying, well, I'm not going to praise him, then the prayer is, God, could you reveal yourself to me once again so that I could praise? Because we're talking about this spontaneous praise, talking about a natural praise. We're not talking about an orchestrated praise or organized praise. We're just talking about a can't help myself praise to God. And I think that we're so distracted in our world and culture today that we forget what God looks like. We forget who God is. We have every other voice around us saying whatever to us, and we're forgetting how important and how amazing and how beautiful and how tremendous this God is that we serve, and that every Sunday we come in here to worship and praise him and to get into his word, and every Sunday we do that, but at the same time, from Monday through Saturday, we have all these other voices and distractions telling us all that, and we just start to maybe even subconsciously we forget who God is, how big he is, how much he is in, how much he deserves our praise. We should never, ever have to tell a follower of Jesus, ever, you need to praise God. It should already be there. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are, for everything that you mean to us. And God, we just ask that you would reveal yourself to us today in this moment. You would speak to us today in this moment in a way we've never seen or heard you before. And that the praise that was happening throughout the Old Testament and the Psalms, and the praise that was happening in the New Testament when you arrived, is the same praise that we can join in today. And Lord, many of us may be even saying today that, well, it's been a while since I've praised him like that. Usually I just go through the motions, or usually I just say the words, or... But the truth is, God, you are so deserving of our praise. And many of us today may even have to say, God, we're sorry. We're sorry because the praise that we give you isn't even close to what you deserve. Show each of us what this means. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.